jiggy with it. Welcome to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch, we have got you locked in on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Coming up this hour, we've got a big hour. Kent Sterling is going to be joining us at 5:20. Then we're going to tell you about the new Auburn Sports Park. If you missed the interview with Rod Sin, we're going to replay it. Rod Sin is behind this, and he's going to be the key point person, kind of getting this thing off the ground up at the old Auburn Auction Park there, just off 69. And so we're going to find out what is the future of that facility, because it's been bought by the Auburn Sports Group, and they're going to be putting in basketball courts, volleyball courts. You've got baseball, softball. You're going to have 7-on-7 football. You've got all types of things coming up, soccer. But we'll talk to Rod Sin about it on a replay of an interview we had in our first hour coming up at 5:35. 46862, 46862, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Any questions, comments, or suggestions? Big news today came down this afternoon that Sean Payton, who has been kind of deliberating what his future is going to be, clearly not 100% in on New Orleans after what happened this past season, trying to follow up after a Hall of Fame career from Drew Brees and dealing with the rotating quarterback issue. Sean Payton has decided he needs to step away. And so he has stepped down as the head coach in New Orleans. Of course, everybody all talking about Sean Payton to Dallas. Yes, it makes a lot of sense. Yes, it would be an upgrade for the Dallas Cowboys. But remember, they would have to trade to get Sean Payton. He can step down, but New Orleans still has a contract with Sean Payton. And so New Orleans would be due some type of a compensatory pick, player, something to be able to get Sean Payton's rights to become the next Cowboys coach. And the other question is, what does Sean Payton want to do? I mean, he's leaving a job because apparently burnout and just needing a break. You want to jump right into Dallas, one of the high-profile franchises? I don't know if that would be his next move. And the other thing, in fairness to Sean Payton, I don't think he's leaving New Orleans with the thoughts of taking over for a coach that's already in place in Dallas. I don't know that Sean Payton would want to take the job in Dallas just so that they change coaches. And clearly you've got a coach that probably in Mike McCarthy deserves to be let go after the mess that he made of the game in the playoffs. But I don't think that Sean Payton would negotiate a deal to go get his job and actually take a job and push somebody out of that job just so he could have it. Now, if it was already an open position and the Cowboys had decided to move on, then we'll see where that goes. But Sean Payton stepping down in New Orleans. Caleb, your thoughts when you heard this news today? I can't say that I'm shocked. He's had a great career and he's worked side by side with Drew Brees through most of that. I mean, it's similar to Belichick and Brady. They just seem to be peanut butter and jelly. And without him, without that stability at quarterback, I think it was a tough year on Sean Payton. And I think he decided with the stress and everything that he just needed to decompress and step aside.
Yeah, we heard rumblings about this the other day, and the news quickly comes out that he is stepping aside. You just wonder, is this a retirement completely, or if he's, or is he going to take a break for a year or two? I guess that's what's unclear to me right now.
Yeah, I quite honestly, I don't think he is leaving. I mean, if I look around the coaching jobs that are available right now, I don't see one that you say, that's the job. That's the one that's open right now that I want, and I want to leave this job. Because, you know, again, there has to be a trade negotiated, because I believe New Orleans is still going to hold his rights because they had him on a contract. And so, you know, it's not like Sean Payton is going to be completely free, I think, to make a deal. But we'll see what happens with Sean Payton. But, you know, of course, the big news for Colts fans is the overnight tweets of Jim Irsay, the late night thoughts of the Colts owner. And sometimes you don't even have to get late night thoughts to get entertaining thoughts from Jim Irsay, because he is very transparent on social media. And he did it once again last night, where he got onto social media. And for most Colts fans, they probably didn't even see these tweets. You have to have somebody tell you they're out there, because they came through at about 1:30 in the morning in Eastern time, because Jim Irsay's out on the West Coast and he's tweeting at like 11:15 at night. And so he tweeted a couple of tweets last night talking about how he was, his late night thoughts and all. But the tweet that got most of the attention was when he tweeted, "You can see clear as day in the final eight NFL team playoffs, you need a quarterback and offense who can score 30 or more in regulation and a defense that can hold an opponent under 30. You know what that sounds like, Caleb? Sounds like Jim Irsay was doing some reminiscing of the Peyton Manning years, because doesn't that basically describe the Colts of the Peyton Manning era? Is an offense that could score 30, 35, 40 points pretty regularly, but a defense that usually had to keep a team somewhere 30 or less so that the Colts could still win? That kind of describes the Colts style of the Peyton Manning era. And I know, you know, Jim Irsay would love to somehow go back in time and bring that team into the 2022, 2023. But the reality is he's wrong. There were only two games that ended up with that particular mathematical equation. Two games that were decided in low-scoring affairs where a team didn't even get to 20 points. So, you know, it wasn't exactly the case where you need a quarterback and offense. But I think what Jim Irsay is referring to is, of course, that Kansas City-Buffalo game that was a back-and-forth affair. And I think what he's saying is, you know, to be able to compete and win those games late, you've got to have a quarterback that's able to execute in those final 2 minutes and an offense that can keep up with a prolific offense. And clearly, that's what we saw in that Kansas City-Buffalo game. But do you think this was just an overall observation of that particular game, or do you think this was clearly somewhat an indictment on Carson Wentz?
I think it's definitely an indictment on Carson Wentz, and he tried to do it in an underhanded way after the game that we saw on Sunday night between the Bills and Chiefs. Look, he's not thrilled with Wentz on how Wentz handled, you know, the vaccination status and everything throughout the season. You can't make a guy do it, and that's fine. I mean, he can choose to or to not. But as far as on a competitive standpoint, that may have hurt the Colts in a key game leading up to that Oakland game. And Wentz was inconsistent, you know, down the stretch. He was great. Well, not great. I would say he was good the first half of the season. Yes, he made a couple bonehead plays, but overall, his stats were solid when you look at it. But the problem is there's no downfield threats for the Colts offense, and the Colts don't have those threats that separate, you know, run-based offense versus a team with the complete package with a running and passing attack.
You know what's interesting about it, Caleb, is I watching that game with Kansas City and the way they were able to take it down the field in 13 seconds. And, you know, the speed that they have at wideout, they just have guys that are almost hybrids. They just zip down the field. I mean, Tyreek Hill, just a dart going down the field. And so, you know, it's not like Kelce is, Travis Kelce is a blazer. But what happens is the speed guy pushes the defense back, and then it gives space for Kelce to operate. But I look at this with Jim Irsay, and clearly there were frustrations from the beginning of the season when Carson Wentz wasn't vaccinated and held out. In fact, a number of the Colts decided to do so, and Jim Irsay felt like he was paying a franchise quarterback enough money that he should value his team and his teammates first. And I think Jim Irsay, and I'm not saying that I agree with this, I'm just saying Jim Irsay's perspective was it was a selfish decision not to get the vaccine. I just think that's the way Jim Irsay saw it. And when Carson Wentz then got the COVID, the NFL rules had changed. But I will tell you, I mean, you can come back and play 6 days later, but you're not the same. There is no possible way You've got that same energy. You've missed practice because Carson Wentz was not the same quarterback in the last two games, and he hadn't played poorly. I mean, you know, he's not a guy that's going to dominate a game and going to win you a game, but he didn't play poorly. But those last two games were disasters after he came back after actually testing positive for COVID. I do think there was some influence there with the dealing of COVID as being non-vaccinated and how Carson Wentz played. And I think Jim Irsay is still frustrated over the entire situation. He's greatly disappointed that the team didn't make the playoffs. And as a result, he continues to kind of run his mouth on Twitter. And, hey, it's great for Colts fans. You know exactly what's happening with the Colts as long as you follow Jim Irsay on Twitter. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So what an incredible game last night. I don't know if you had a chance to watch college hoops last night, Caleb, but I picked up on this game second half. Kansas, Texas Tech, thought, hey, this is a pretty good game. I'll watch this. I had been watching, actually, a women's basketball game with Michigan and Purdue, and Michigan had Leah Brown, the former DeKalb standout. So I was watching Purdue and Katie Gerrards, the new coach for the Purdue Boilermakers, watching her team against Leah Brown and a really good Michigan team. And then I decided to flip, and I came across this Kansas-Texas Tech game. At the time I turned it on, 6 minutes or so left, it was about a 10-point game. And I thought, well, I'll stick with it. See, you know, maybe Texas Tech can make it close. Well, all of a sudden, Texas Tech made a run. And what an amazing, amazing game. I mean, you had guys playing a foot and a half above the rim with block shots that they called goaltends. But I still don't know if either one was a goaltend. You had a three-pointer and a fadeaway from the left wing to tie it and send it to another overtime. You end up with two overtimes in total and a back-and-forth game. Kansas ends up getting the win. Did you happen to catch any of this last night, Caleb? Because so far from what I've seen in college basketball this season, this was by far the game of the year.
I was watching episodes of Yellowstone, so no, I did not catch this game.
Doing some binge watching. Is that what that's called?
Yes. I'm on season three.
So, hey, that's pretty good. How many seasons are there?
I think it's in the fourth season now, so I'm getting caught up. It's taken me a while. I watch maybe an episode or two at a time, you know, maybe once or twice a week.
See, now, the reason I have to watch shows like Mask Singer and stuff like that is because I don't have those streaming services, so I can't do the binge watch. I can't watch a lot of the popular shows because I don't have the stream. But which one is that on? Is that a Netflix show?
No, it's on Peacock and Paramount Plus. It might be somewhere else.
Oh, I might have that.
Yeah.
I might have that. I might have that with my cable system. I'll have to check that out. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. But that was a great game last night. We got great basketball tonight. Michigan State at Illinois. That's going to be a great Big Ten game. And then you got Arizona at UCLA for Night Owls. I think that game doesn't even start until after 11 o'clock. But, you know, last night we had a chance to see Arizona State USC, but the first half wasn't even on because of the double overtime that was going on with Kansas and Texas Tech. But, boy, it's a good night for college basketball tonight on the Tube. You can just kick back, watch some good college hoops. Last night, Pacers, they fall in the finale of their road trip. New Orleans beats them 117-113. It was another night for the Pacers to play shorthanded. No Malcolm Brogdon, no Domantas Sabonis, no Miles Turner, and Dwayne Washington ended up with 7 3-pointers, 7 of 12 from beyond the arc. He had 21 points, but the Pacers gave it a chase but couldn't quite get over the hump. And they lose to New Orleans last night. And you know, we've got to do this really quick. 447-8500. Call us with Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. We've got like 3 minutes to do it. So you got to call us quick if you want to win a pizza. I didn't even think about this. We got to play some quick Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. 447-8500 if you want to play. And And call us now. You can win a pizza to Pizza Hut, but we've got like 2 minutes to play. So we're going to do it on rapid fire. 447-8500. If we get a caller, we play. If we don't, we don't. But 447-8500, the number to call for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. I do want to try to get it in today and see if we can play some Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. I don't know who won last week. I didn't play last week, so I don't know if it was the listener or if it was, I believe John Nolan might have been the one playing Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. But anyway, 447-8500 doesn't look like we're going to get a call in time because I am on a tight, tight clock today. We've got a busy evening tonight. We've got Mastodon's Coaches Show coming up at 6 o'clock. That'll be live at the Holiday Inn across in the Coliseum, the Holiday Inn, Purdue Fort Wayne, and the Mastodon Grill. You're always invited to stop out for the show between 6 and 7. Tonight, it is men's basketball coach John Kaufman, women's basketball coach Maria Marcassano, and baseball coach Doug Schreiber. Former coach at Purdue, came over to Purdue Fort Wayne a couple of seasons ago, and so he will tell us what to expect from this year's edition of Purdue Fort Wayne baseball. All right, so let's get it done. Let's do it quick. Paul, you're on the line. We got to play really fast, Paul. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, Paul, let's do it. Kayla, lead us into it.
It's time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia on the Sports Rush.
All right, time for clue number one. Guy LaFleur wins both the Art Ross Trophy and Hart Memorial Trophy. Both happened in this year.
Your chance, Paul. What do you want to do? Go? You want to play or pass?
I'm going to pass.
I will say 1977.
All right, I'll go 1976.
And it is also Guy LaFleur.
Okay, my apologies. Guy LaFleur. Clue number two, the U.S. Open moves to hard courts. Now, this is tennis, just for clarification, but the U.S. Open moves to hard courts. Happened in this year.
Oh, geez, I have no clue. 1981.
1974.
All right, clue number three. Affirmed wins the Triple Crown. Affirmed wins the Triple Crown. This is horse racing.
Is it me or you?
It's me. 1981.
1982.
All right, clue number four. Pete Rose becomes the 13th player with 3,000 career hits.
Okay, it's on you.
Oh, me. 1984.
I will go with 1979. God, I've got to be all over
this
thing.
All right, the last clue. The Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's on me, right?
Yeah.
Is it on me? Okay.
I think so.
I will say, I don't even remember all the years I picked, but I'll say 1978.
Oh,
my God. I had every year around it.
Both of you guessed around the year the whole time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I got that one. Thanks, Paul. Paul, stay on the line because Caleb will get you one of those pizzas anyway from Pizza Hut.
Awesome.
We'll come back.
Thanks,
Ken Sterling's our guest coming up next here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. A lot of fun with Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia today. Oh, congratulations to Paul who had it so close, but yet once again a victory for moi. But we did give Paul that pizza from Pizza Hut. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. If you got any questions, comments, or suggestions to connect with us. Hey, guess who's on the phone? Our buddy down in Indianapolis, Kent Sterling. You can follow him at kentsterling.com. Great videos presented for your viewing pleasure with input and analysis on the local sports scene. Kent, how are you today?
I couldn't be better. How are you, Brett?
Well, I'm recovering. I've been dealing with COVID part two here for the last week, so I am sitting at home doing the show. But I've been better, but I hope to be better. Let's put it that way. Hey, Kent, so many different things I want to talk to you about over the last week. Sure. Because you had, first of all, I want to go back to Indiana-Purdue. And I know, you know, you're right on top of that game. That win by Indiana, it meant so much for so many reasons. And I said this might be the biggest win in Indiana at Assembly Hall since the Kentucky game. Am I close?
Oh, I think you're exactly right. I think it resets the culture a little bit and gives fans some kind of hope that, you know, brighter days are not just ahead, but brighter days are now. And, you know, Rob Phinisee coming off the bench to score those 20 points and really light a fire under this team. Trace Jackson Davis, 11 minutes, 4 points. Wasn't the kind of performance you thought you needed to be able to beat a team like Purdue. But I don't think he was a good matchup to begin with. I don't think Trace was a good matchup for Indiana against Purdue. And I think it kind of worked out for him that he got in the foul trouble he did.
You know, yeah, that was something where I fully expected that Trace Jackson Davis was not going to be matched up against Edie, that they weren't going to take that risk. They did, and they paid for it. But, boy, Rob Phinisee really delivered for the Indiana Hoosiers. And then over the weekend, NFL football. Man, could we have had it any better? I mean, you couldn't write a better script for four games, especially when you don't have a pony in the race.
It was absolutely magical, and the best was left for last. You know, the fourth act was unbelievable between the Chiefs and the Bills the last 2 minutes. 25 points in the last 2 minutes of regulation. It was like there were fights. I don't know if you're a fight guy, but Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward fought 3 times, and each of those fights was just so charismatic and magnetic, and you just couldn't look away as these guys threw haymakers at each other, and that was what that last 2 minutes was kind of like. And then you sort of had the fizzling of the overtime system as it exists now in the NFL, and the regulation was so incredible, and then the overtime was just like, you know, think, touchdown, Chiefs go to the AFC Championship game. It was kind of a shame, but only because the end of regulation was just awesome.
Well, and that was the thing, Kent. I brought up on the show yesterday the reason everybody wants this overtime rule changed, because I pointed out that the common thing now is for teams to defer the opening coin toss because they don't believe that your team is going to go the length of the field and go up 7-0 against their defense. But the way those two teams were rolling, it was unbelievable. But everybody wanted once the rule changed, I think in part. Because they didn't want to see that game end. They wanted to see what Josh Allen would do in response the way that game was going.
And I think that's reasonable. You know, I'm not a big, like, knee-jerk, rule-change guy. I didn't like it when, who is it, the Rams and the Saints, right? And you had the pass interference that was missed. And so the Rams wind up going to the Super Bowl over the top of the Saints. And, you know, it was a bad call. And so they adjusted the pass interference replay rule, and then they've since kind of done away with that because it was an overreaction. I don't want to see him make the same mistake with the overtimes. I don't think it's a perfect system, but I think it just was it was a bit of a letdown, just because if you've got a play with an awesome second act that's just riveting, and then the third act just isn't so good. You know, it's not a very good play, and that's kind of the way it worked out the other night with the Chiefs and the Bills. It just wound up going to overtime when I wish it really happened. But you know what? The Bills could have taken care of it. I don't think the Bills got jobbed. If the Bills just squib it or they kind of pooch it down to the 5-yard line, there's no way that the Chiefs can tie that game with 13 seconds left. I think the Bills were kind of hoisted by their own petard. And they're kind of holding another shining object up to fans and saying, yeah, let's blame this instead of take accountability for our own mistake in special teams as we kicked it through the end zone.
You know, and it kind of leads me into my next question, which is really the main reason I wanted to get your input on this. And it was Jim Irsay, late night tweets. And I think, you know, he's watching that game. He's seeing the power of the quarterback, that no team was done in that game because of the way the quarterbacks were playing. And then he reflects on his own team and realizes maybe his shortcomings. And for those that didn't catch what Jim Irsay had to tweet, he said, "You can see clearly as day in the final eight NFL team playoffs, you need a quarterback and offense who can score 30 or more in regulation and a defense that can hold an opponent under 30. Well, he's not exactly right, because two of the games were low scoring, but his point, I think, is the Colts need to upgrade offensively, and that upgrade has to start at quarterback. If you're Carson Wentz, how do you take this?
Oh, I take it as though I better call U-Haul, and I'm sure he can hire movers. I don't think he has to call U-Haul and rent a truck and move his own stuff out of the truck. But I would take it as a shot across my bow that, you know, either it's time for me to put all my chips into the middle of the table and show up at the Colts complex at 5 in the morning every single day and stay there till 9 at night looking at tape and working with Reich and really doing everything I've got to do to prove to this team that I'm their guy. Or it's time to, you know what, accept your kind of fate as the next Sam Bradford, a guy who was drafted, you know, at the upper echelon of the draft and kind of fizzled out as a starter in St. Louis, goes to Philadelphia, gets traded to Minnesota, winds up in Arizona, and his career ends right around the age of 30. I think that's kind of where Wentz is. You know, Wentz is either going to be a great reclamation story for the Colts because he really puts the team first, or he's going to go someplace else and play football and then retire with his money and his family and live a spectacular life of largesse and fun. And you know what? I really, from a personal perspective, it's a no-lose deal, but from a football perspective, you'd like to have a guy who's all about the team. And I think that the thing that really set Jim Irsay off happened almost 6 months ago, and that was when Carson Wentz didn't get the vaccine. And it's not about the vax or not vax. It's about the NFL protocols. And if you don't get vaccinated or if you didn't get vaccinated, you're going to be subjected to protocols that kind of put your availability at risk for the team for whom you played. And that Carson Wentz wasn't kind of accommodating in saying, I'm going to step up. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to put the team ahead of my own feelings about the vaccine, because I am not going to miss a couple of games because of this COVID thing and because of the NFL protocols. When that happened, people in that building got hot about it, and they're going to stay hot about it, and some of those people were in the locker room.
You know, Kent, here's a point that I'm going to make about COVID, dealing with COVID, is that there are times it can wipe you out and it can take your energy. And here's the thing. It's not the availability for Carson Wentz on the Sundays, because he played both games after he was diagnosed with COVID. It is about the week of preparation, not practicing, maybe not even having the energy to dive into film like he normally would. That is probably a bigger impact maybe than what we even saw in his play, was that he might not have been as prepared as he normally would either. And so I understand a lot of frustration right now from Jim Irsay, but what's great is you've got an owner that's that transparent to shoot out tweets in the middle of the night and let us know exactly what he is thinking. Hey, real quick, Carson Wentz, quarterback of the Colts season next season, day one or not?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he'll be back. I think, really, that bringing him back would almost be unfair to him, because fans will be ready to really not like Carson Wentz next year when things go sideways. If year one was kind of dodgy for Carson Wentz, year two is going to be downright unpleasant.
Yeah, absolutely. Kent, always appreciate you. We'll touch base with you again. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
You too, Brent. Feel better.
Yep, that is Kent Sterling joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Always great to touch base with Kent. We've still got plenty more coming up at the show, including at 6 o'clock, the Mastodons Coaches Show live from the Holiday Inn. Purdue Fort Wayne, it's right across the Memorial Coliseum at the Mastodon Grill. We've got men's basketball coach John Kaufman, women's basketball coach Maria Marcusano, men's baseball coach Doug Schreiber. What a lineup we've got for you tonight. Join us from 6 to 7 right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Coming up next, a new project happening up in Auburn. It's exciting. Check it out because Rod Sin is our guest. We had him last hour, and we wanted you to get a chance to hear about it this hour. So Rod Sin will replay our conversation with him from hour number one coming up next here on the Sports Rush.
Podcasts by Federated Media.